produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Shine on. You know it, come on. Shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. Sing it. I heard.
I heard the voice.
That's Full Gospel Baptist Church. Lay down.
To me.
To me. Come on, Bishop.
And lay.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Simply to let them know that the church that Jesus started has not stopped. That the church that Jesus began is continuing the work of God. My brothers and my sisters, that's exactly what the church is supposed to be, is that the church is supposed to continue on with what Jesus has done. See, my brothers and my sisters, I think so many times that we are so dependent and we're looking up that we never look without. What you mean, Reverend, is that we're so looking up, we're looking to Jesus, we want Jesus, we need God to intervene, we need God to make a move, but a lot of times we don't realize that what we need is right amongst us. Am I talking to anybody in here, my brothers and my sisters? I'm trying to let you know that a lot of times your answered prayers that you send up, God has answered them when right was in front of you. He said, my brothers and my sisters, so many times we miss the answer to our prayers because we want God to come down and have some angelic choir and some major thunder to be rolling. But a lot of times it could just be your neighbor who's sitting right there next to you. And the thing is, you hadn't even spoke to your neighbor all week, all month, all year long, and don't even realize that the answer to your problem may be sitting in the pew beside you. Oh, what are you trying to say, Reverend? Is that a lot of times what the church misses is that a lot of times our answered prayers are right there in front of us. But the problem is that we so gung-ho on not opening up our mouths, not opening up ourselves, that we don't realize that your neighbor is the one that God has sent to you to be the answer to what you have been going through. Church. The thing I love about this church, though, is that this church, watch this, my brothers and my sisters, is always in a state of prayer. The Acts opens with them praying. Acts has them praying, not just that, but Acts has them praying at the day of Pentecost. It has them praying, watch this, my brothers and my sisters, not just when trouble comes, but they are praying because they need direction. They're praying because they need strength. They're praying because they need to have some instruction. And what are you trying to say is that prayer is not just there for you to pray when you get in trouble. But it ought to be some people in here today who can be able to say, I don't pray just because I'm in trouble, but sometimes I need God to give me some strength. Sometimes I need God to give me some direction. And then is there some people in here today that can just be happy and say, I just pray because I love to talk to the Lord, that I just love to be in conversation with him. And wait a minute, can I talk to my real worshipers who can say, I just love to be in prayer because I love to be able to tell God how much I love him, to tell God how much I adore him. Am I talking to anybody in here that can be able to say that I just talk to God because I love to be able to conversation with a friend who sticks closer than a brother? I love to be in conversation with somebody who will keep my secrets, who will keep my most inner thoughts. I love talking to somebody who will bless me even when I don't know I don't deserve it. Am I talking to anybody in here that says, I just love to pray because prayer is my time to talk to him? There's something about talking to the Lord. Even when you're not going through it, just make you feel better. Oh, am I talking to anybody in here that's ever had that has a real prayer life? They could be able to say that even though when you're not going through, it's just good to just check in. Just to be able to let her know, Lord, I'm here. Lord, I'm going through. Lord, I may not be going through. And let me say this. If you're really being blessed and you're in a season where God is opening up doors and God is blessing you with abundance and overflow, you ought to show up being a season of prayer. What you mean, Reverend? Because you need God to give you some instruction on what to do with your abundance. You need God to be able to tell you, Lord, I know that this won't last always. Just give me some wisdom. Give me some insight on what to do with the blessings that you have given unto me. Because I'm like Biggie, more money, more problems. What you mean, Reverend? The more you get blessed, the more problems you're going to look to have. Am I talking to somebody in here? The reason why I don't envy folk who win the lottery. Say, well, Reverend, why not? If I had $1 billion, you know what I could do? Yeah, but do you know how lack of peace you're going to get? You know how many relatives you're going to get that's going to come out of the woodwork? You know how many people you're going to want to come to you with business proposals? They're going to be, are they entrepreneurs? You know how many calls you're going to get? You got to deal with the IRS. You got to deal with trying to look over your shoulder. Who's going to come and take it away? It's more money, more problems. Yes, I'd love to have more money. But Lord, I need to talk to you when I get it. I need to talk to you before I get it. And when I get broke, I'm sure not going to come talk to you. Prayer is not just made for when you're in trouble. The church demonstrates this to us that they take many opportunities to seek God's counsel, seek God's provision, seek God's guidance, seek God's understanding, seek what God wants them to do. Here it is. This situation is a troubling one. Because the church has found itself in midst of persecution. That you have in Acts chapter 12, the Bible says that Herod Agrippa, who is the grandson of Herod the Great, has breathed out threatenings against the church. Herod Agrippa, who is he? Let me give you a little slight history lesson. Herod Agrippa is the grandson of Herod the Great. Herod Agrippa is raised in Rome. Herod Agrippa finds himself to be raised in Rome and becomes friends with the soon-to-be emperor by the name of Caligula. Caligula rules Rome, and when he takes over for Tiberius, his uncle, he takes over and he rules Rome. But he's crazy. Yeah, Caligula's insane. Literally, certifiably crazy. Stuff that he did is insane to even think about. You want to do something in the middle of your time in the week, look up and Google Caligula. You will see that his reign was so bad that his soldiers, the ones in the army, are the ones who killed him. He is not all there mentally. And so this Herod Agrippa becomes friends with a crazy man. He's friends with a crazy man, and then he himself takes that same favor that he's curried with Herod Agrippa, goes back to Judea, now with the title of king and all of this power and autonomy that he has. He goes and he rules with an iron fist to try and please the Jewish leaders, because he knows that his greatest mistake, and one of his greatest mistakes of those who've gone before him, is that they have not been able to be in concert and to be one with the Jewish religious establishment. And so what he does is that the way that he curries favor with them is that he finds an enemy in the Christians. Or not the people not called Christians just yet, but find the people of the way. That he finds an enemy in the church. And so what he does is that he decides that he's going to attack it at the top. And my brothers and my sisters, can I pause parenthetically there to let you know that it's a shame, and it's very scary to even think about, my brothers and my sisters, that when power gets with other corrupt powers. When power feels entitled. That's what happened in Montgomery, Alabama. There was a sense of power and entitlement. Man didn't want to move his boat because he felt entitled to the spot where his boat was parked. He lived in Montgomery, Alabama. The same spot, the same dock where this boat was at, was the same spot where slaves were auctioned on the block. Alabama! The same city of, same state of Bull Connor and George Wallace. Segregation now, segregation forever. The same state where four little black girls were bombed in Birmingham, Alabama. The same state that Rosa decided she was going to take a seat in the middle of December because she didn't want to give her seat up to a white man after she'd been on her feet all day. Alabama, a city of entitlement. The same city that the former president had just been there the day before. So they feeling good. And feeling entitled. And so what happens is that it's a perfect storm, that the brother was just doing his job. He was there monitoring the situation, trying to tell them to move because it's a riverboat that needs to park in the spot that you had. He asked them 3 to 4 times, and they still did not want to move. They did not want to listen to this black man who was had the audacity to tell them to move their boat. Power. And entitled. But the one thing that they forgot is that the way you bring down, sometimes you got to bring down power entitlement, is that you got to bring it down with a fist. Or you bring it down with a chair. Because eventually, my brothers and my sisters, eventually power and entitlement will be crushed down to death. And don't you know that's the reason that we serve the God that we do? Is because no matter what other powers, earthly powers, come down here and try and tell us who we are, what we gonna do, and what we gonna be, we serve a God who sits above all of them. We serve a God who has all power in his hand. And so guess what? Is that my God was sitting up there in heaven. Yes, he does not like violence, but I guarantee you God was telling, swing on, my brother. Yeah. because power and entitlement got to go away. All right, now, text says that Herod decides he's going to attack it at the top, and he goes for James, the brother of John, and he kills him. James, the first apostle, really, to die and be a martyr. He kills him, beheads him, and then he sets his sights on Peter. Decides that he's going to arrest Peter. And the thing is, watch this, is that he doesn't just send two soldiers to arrest Peter, but he sends, Minister Johnson, 40 soldiers to arrest and keep Peter in prison. Why do you take so many? Because, here it is, my brothers and my sisters, is that he's trying to let Peter know that you ain't getting away. I've heard stories about how you people find your way out of situations, but you're not going to find your way out of it. And I've come to let you know, my brothers and my sisters, that a lot of times that when the enemy attacks you, he's attacking you, but he doesn't realize that he's attacking the God in you. Because it wasn't Peter who was escaping. It wasn't Peter who wasn't getting away. It wasn't disciples who were escaping. It was God who was guiding them. It was God who was on their side. And so here it is. I know it's tough sometimes. You get discouraged. You get angry. But you got to realize that the enemy is not after you. They're after what is keeping you. They're after what is holding you. They're after what is healing you. They're after what's keeping a smile on your face, even though you know that people have slapped you down. They're trying to go after what's keeping you when you've been burdened down, when you've been beaten down, when you've been sick, when you've been down and trapped. They're trying to take a hold of that. But is there anybody in the building that can say, I thank God that even though you attack my body, you can't take what's on the inside? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So yeah, you may attack you, but they can't take the God out of you, because he will guide you. He will keep you. Am I talking to anybody in the building today that can be able to say that I thank God that the Lord has helped me, that the Lord has upheld me, that the Lord has guided me, even though the enemy's brought sickness, and even though the enemy's brought confusion, and even though the enemy's tried to interrupt my peace, I thank God that I'm still alive today to say that the Lord was working. Brothers and my sisters, he was trying to attack and control what he could. Because, and not only that, but he was basically saying, now get out of this. I got 40 soldiers, two on each side. And then it's Passover. Let me tell y'all something. Let me tell you this. You got to be careful when you mess with God's people at the wrong time. For one, he messed up. 40 is God's number. That's God's number of testing. Then you take Peter, you put him in jail, and you put him in jail during Passover. Your King James says Easter. So you're going to put him in jail during the same time that Jesus died and was resurrected. Then you chain him with a soldier on his left and a soldier on his right. Y'all can do it. Okay. If that makes it plain, I'm going to show you something. So you mess with the number 40. So you telling God, I'm testing you. Because 40 is the number for testing. Then you have the audacity to do it on the highest of holy days in all of Christianity. Then you have the audacity to help mimic and to not even think about it, but you mimic the same situation that Jesus was in, because he was caught in the middle with one on his left and one on his. You ought to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't try and set me up, because you got to be careful. You don't know what God's getting ready to do. He didn't understand that you don't play with God's folk. And you don't mess with God's numbers. You don't mess with what belongs to God. Because when you mess what belongs to God, he will show up and show out. Put in between two. Here's Peter. And I love it because the Bible says he's in jail. But the Bible says in verse 5, but the church kept on praying. And they prayed without ceasing. The word ceasing there, I'm glad to know, is that the word ceasing there, that is used in an adverbial sense, and it literally, the word literally means to extinguish. So what are they doing? Is that they are saying that when they're praying, they're not just making regular prayers, but they're going beyond the call of duty. That when you extend, that means you are going beyond what you can capably do. What do you mean, Reverend? Is that my brothers and my sisters, their prayers weren't just regular prayers, but they prayed to the fact that they went beyond what was normally required for prayers. What do you mean, Reverend, is that they didn't just sit there, get on their knees, and say, God, we thank you, God, we ask, Lord, that you would just have mercy right now on Brother Peter, and that was that. No. The Bible wants you to understand that when they prayed, they kept on praying, that they went beyond time, that they weren't thinking about how long they were on their knees. They weren't thinking about who was going to hear them. They weren't worried about the work they were going to put together. They just kept on praying. They kept on talking to God. They went beyond what the time was. They didn't care if it was 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours. It didn't matter because they know they needed to get to God. And just like I told y'all in Bible study, here's a plug for Bible study. You need to come. You need to watch. Is that in Bible study, like I told you, what Jesus told his disciples, that when he says that when you knock, don't just knock one time, but keep on knocking. Keep on knocking. Keep on going until you wake up heaven. That's what the saints were trying to do, is that they were trying to bombard heaven for God to come through and see about them. And I'm talking to some folk in here today that you're going through something right now and you got a situation that's too hard for you. And the problem is that you didn't have a weak prayer life. But can I help somebody and tell you that maybe you got to keep on praying, that you want God to do it for you this month. You want God to bring it through to make it come to pass. Keep on praying and don't stop. Don't stop. Can't stop, won't stop. Why? Because what I'm going through is an emergency for me. And it's an emergency for the church. But I love Peter. Watch this. The Bible says, Peter's asleep. He on death row. And he's asleep. Peter. If it was me, I'd be scared. I don't think I'd be able to sleep. But Peter is sleeping. Peter is sleeping. Knocked out. Knocked out on the shoulders, on one of the soldiers' shoulders. He's so sleepy, you know, he's real sleep, because he doesn't wake up until he finally gets on the street. He's so asleep that he's almost calm, not irrational. And I said, Lord, why was he able to sleep like this? He says to me, because I'm like, Lord, you can tell us why Peter was able to be asleep like this. He says, well, Lee, when you got to understand something, is that Peter already knew who God will. And this ain't the first time that Peter then fell asleep. Peter, last time I saw Peter was asleep on Jesus in the garden. And Jesus got mad at him. But the last thing that Jesus told him, sleep on now. Take your rest. And it was a dire situation. So Lord, help me and tell me that my brothers and my sisters, is that here it is. Is that many times the reason why we can't rest is because we can't trust. Ooh. Can I say that one more time? The reason why you can't rest is because you can't and will not trust. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. What you mean, Reverend? Is that my brothers and my sisters? That when you can trust in the one who you're talking to, then you can rest assured that he's already got you covered. So when situations come, you can be able to say that I can rest in knowing that no matter what happens, I can sleep on now. Because God's got it. It don't make any sense for all of us to be up, that I need to go ahead and go to bed, because the Bible says that he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor. So therefore, I can go to bed, I can go and get me some rest, and then I can wake up the next morning and keep on praying, but I'm going to get my rest. Why? Because rest is holy. God needs us to rest. God needs you to be able to rest your mind and to rest your body. And sooner or later, my brothers and my sisters, you've got to learn how to trust in him. So Peter's rested. He knocked out. And the Bible says, here comes the angel. Now mind you, it's Passover. Here comes an angel during Passover. Angel hits him on the side, tell him, Peter, get up, wrap your cloak, put on your sandals. We're getting out of here. Now, look how God works. This is amazing to me. Peter's chained up to the soldiers. Two chains. Two chains. One on one side, one on the other. And the chains just
fell off.
Two soldiers. And the chains just. You see, this blessed my life right here. I didn't even have this in here. The Lord gave this to me this morning. It said, my brothers and my sisters, that when you learn how to trust, that the thing that's been holding you back, the thing that has you restrained, the thing that you're going through, the thing that it is, that when you learn how to trust, the Lord knows how to just.
Amen.
Do I have anybody in the building that can be grateful on the day that when you learn how to trust, the Lord knows how to just take the stuff and let it just.
All of that. Amen.
Throw that in for free. All right, let's go. So, chains fall off. Angel says, get up. Watch what the angel does. Is that the angel says, take your cloak, tuck it, wrap it around yourself. Why is that so significant? Because it's Passover. Let me remind you, Exodus chapter 12, when the Egyptians were about to there, and then God sent the death angel to come through, the instructions that God gave to Moses to give to the children of Israel is that don't even make bread with having leaven in it. Make unleavened bread, because the deliverance is going to come so fast that you need to be able to have your shoes on your feet and your cloak
wrapped around.
Why? Because I don't want you to get tripped up when you get going out of Egypt.
Right.
What does that mean, Reverend? Is that the Lord said deliverance is going to come so fast, you won't have time to even put a belt on. Already have your belt ready. Already be in position for when you're ready to come out, because I don't need anything to keep you from where to keep you where I'm taking you out of. Okay, so what's the significance, Reverend? Is that God says the same thing to Peter. Is that Peter, tuck your cloak, shoes on, get ready. We about to walk up out of here. We about to run. And I need you to understand, Peter, that you've got to have your shoe on, your toe cut, because guess what? It's going to come so fast, I don't need you to trip up. Why? What's the tripping up? That's us. Because we can't leave from where we are. Because isn't it amazing how people want deliverance, but they really don't? What do you mean, Reverend? Because some folks just love to have something to complain about. Some people just love being the victims in their own story. People just love having something to tell you, ooh, child, is so bad. When is it ever good? Has God ever done anything for you? Oh, I forgot. I see the problem is you don't tuck your cloak when you need to. And so when God ready to take you out, you end up getting stuck back in. But I came to talk to some folk today who said, I'm determined that I'm going to tuck my cloak. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm tired of going to God for the same thing over and over again. Lord, if it's me, move me out of the way. I got my cloak tucked. I got my shoes on my feet. I'm ready to get out of whatever I'm going through. And is there anybody in here that came in here today that came in here with determination to say, I'm not going to be stuck where I used to be, but I'm ready for God to take me higher? All right, let's get to the church. Peter, then, Peter looks around. He almost, Peter gets out of the jail. Angel brings him out, puts him on the right street. The Bible says that Peter gets to the house of John and Mark. His mother's house is praying right. Now, I want y'all to pay attention. They're not praying in the church. Mm-hmm. They're not praying at the temple. They praying where?
The house.
What you mean, Reverend? Is that, let me tell y'all this. What starts at the house ought to show up at the temple.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That the work you do at home ought to show up at church. What you mean, Reverend? Oh, it's just like school. You get homework. You do it at home, and it's supposed to show that the work you're doing at home ought to reflect itself in your schoolwork. And the same thing goes for folks in church, that the stuff you do at home ought to show up in the church. What you mean, Reverend, is that if you're not praising God at home, don't expect me to try and get you going at church.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
If you ain't reading scripture at home,
that's it. That's bring it
don't
in.
Expect me to turn this into reading rainbow and I read you scripture here at the
top. That's it.
Ooh, y'all don't like this, huh?
That's all right.
Look, your neighbor say neighbor. We got some homework to do. That means that we need to pray at home. And we ought to be able to start our fire at home. Which means that by the time we get here, it ought not to be nothing for nobody to tell us, praise God and give God some praise. Because you've been praising God all in your house. Here it is, my brothers and my sisters. You ought to tear up your own house first. Make your own house ought to be praying ground number one. It ought to, you ought to be able to come to your house. And when you come through the door, you ought to thank Him. When you flip on the lights, you ought to tell Him thank you. When you open up the refrigerator, you ought to tell Him thank you. When those children come in at the end of the day, you ought to hug them and kiss them and tell Him thank you. I just gave you three reasons why you ought to tell Him thank you. Wait a minute, can I give everybody some more? When you wake up in the morning and you find yourself on this side, you ought to tell Him thank you. So when you come in the building and somebody can say, He woke me up this morning, because you've been practicing all week long. Now when you come in here, it ought to be.
Amen. Amen.
Anybody want to do their homework? I need y'all to do your homework. All right, come on, Mr. Bugle. Today, fine. So, praying at the house. Now watch this. Bible says, Peter's not. Here comes a little girl by the name of Rhoda, serving girl. She's there. Only one in the house that responds, because it's her job, she's the maid, goes, shows up at the house, says, hey, I hear Peter's voice. Now, the thing is, she doesn't see Peter, but she knows his voice. Can I help somebody? Is it my brothers and my sisters? When the Lord shows up, do you recognize his voice? Here's the thing is, we always want God to show up in our face, but the thing is, do you know his voice? Whoa, does anybody in here, has anybody ever listened to his voice? What is that voice? It's still a still small voice that sings in your ear. For my children, it's that voice that tells you do right when you want to do wrong. It's the voice that tells you go left when you want to go right, but left may be a longer journey, but left is what's best for you. It's that voice that tells you when to go up when you want to go down. It's the voice that gives you direction and the voice that speaks so clear. That's God's voice. She recognized his voice. But just like the resurrection of Jesus, because that's what Peter here is supposed to be, flash, let y'all know. that this story of Peter is supposed to mimic the resurrection of Jesus. Just like Jesus' resurrection, nobody believed the women.
Yeah. Amen.
You know?
That was it.
They didn't believe Rome. They kept on praying. And I love it that the church did not stop praying. Girl, that ain't Peter. That's his angel. Okay. All right. Now this blessed me. This is it. We go home. I promise you, I'm done with my sin. This is it. That's all I got. This is why you need to keep on praying. Because here it is. Their prayers has switched. What you mean, Reverend? Before Peter went in jail, they were praying that God would bring him out. But by the time we get to where Peter is brought out before them, they know it's the day when Peter's supposed to be dead. They know it's the day that Peter has died. Now, mind you, the church has already been praying for James. How do you know that, Reverend? Because scholars would tell you that this is not the first time the church prayed, that I guarantee you they were praying for James. But James' situation didn't work out the way they wanted it to, so they had to switch their prayer. Their prayer now had to be moved from deliverance to God give me courage. God give us direction. God show us the way to go. As they have been coming against us, God protect us. So their prayers had to switch. But can I help somebody real quick? Is that the same thing happened for them here in the text? Did they believe that Peter was dead? They no longer were praying for God to deliver Peter. Now they were praying, God, give us direction. God, show us the way to go. Because they didn't see how Peter was going to come out of the situation. One, I got to give them kudos for keep on praying. But two, I got to be able to tell them, wait a minute, you gave up on your first prayer. And many times we mess up in life because we forget what our first prayer was. We forget many times in life what we already prayed for. And I come in and let somebody know, my brothers and my sisters, just because God don't answer it right then and there, it does not mean that he won't answer your prayer. You see, my brothers and my sisters, I'm talking to some folk, and I'm going home when I do this, is that I'm talking to some people that made some prayers 5 years ago. I'm talking to some people that made some prayers months ago. I'm talking to some people that made prayers many, many moons ago. And is there anybody in here that says he may not have shown up then, he may not have answered then, but am I talking to anybody that can say, I thank God that I kept on praying and I kept on reaching out and I kept on extending myself, and even though he didn't answer it then, I thank God that lo and behold, one day the Lord showed up, came through. And am I talking to anybody in the building that can give God some praise, that can be able to say, I prayed and there was some prayers that I prayed that they didn't manifest, not right then, but it didn't mean that God forgot about me, but God put me in time and he found a way to show up, not on my time, but is there anybody in here that can say he showed up right on time? And am I talking to anybody that don't mind helping me close my sermon? They're going to be able to say, I'm going to keep on praying. I don't know when and I don't know where God's going to bring me out. I don't know when God's going to show up, but I got some witnesses. They're going to be able to say, he may not come when you want him to come, but he'll show up right on time. Come here, Peter. Peter stood there knocking at the door. He stood there knocking, and the people didn't believe it was him. And am I talking to anybody that's ready for God to blow your mind? Are you ready for God to turn it around and give you a testimony? I'm talking to somebody who's tried the Lord before, that the Lord blew your mind. He blew your mind more than 69 times, but he blew your mind 75, 100. But you maybe be like me that can say he blows my mind over and over again. The folks thought Peter was dead, but Peter was just a setup for a resurrection. And don't you know that that's the same thing that I want to tell you, is that you're set up for God to raise you up. You're set up for God to blow your mind and blow your enemy's mind, blow
it here that wants God to turn it around. Well, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you want God to turn it around for you. Keep on praying. Keep on giving him glory. Keep on telling him thank you. Because am I talking to anybody that can be a witness, that can say, he done it for me? If that's you, won't you stand on your feet? If you gave it to the Lord and he worked it out, if you're a living, breathing, walking testimony, you ought to tell him thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I thank God that the prayers that other folks have prayed for me, I've seen God work them out. If that's you, you ought to just say thank you, Lord. Thank you. Say yeah. Yeah.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.